call the meeting to order and Senate Special Committee on Energy. Let the record reflect that it is 1 p.m. on April 2nd, 2015. We're in the Butcher Rich Room 205. Busy day, waiting on other members, so for right now you have myself, Co-Chairman Machicki. I'd like to recognize our committee staff. We have Chris Dickrell here from Senate Records and Lori Bird with LAO. Lynn Smith with my staff. Please turn off your cell phones if they're on. And today's meeting is scheduled for 30 minutes. We have finance coming up shortly. And the purpose of our meeting is a presentation from the Association of Alaska Housing Authorities, Rural Alaska Community Action Program, Alaska Community Development Corporation, and Interior Weatherization on their collective statewide contributions and impact on Alaska energy issues and policy. With us we have Carol Gore, Cook Inlet Housing Authority, President and CEO, Craig Moore, Tlingit Haida Regional Housing Authority, VP of Planning and Development. If you you should identify yourselves for the record and begin.
We shall begin. Good afternoon. Co-Chair Machicki, I want to thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today, and I hope your other committee members join you as we proceed. If not, we have all submitted written testimony, so what we're about to say on the record is also in writing and submitted to the committee. Thank you for that.
Perfect. Thank you. And just for their today's operating budget day,
yes.
We usually, particularly this committee, is usually very well attended, so I apologize for them, but thank you.
Thank you for that, and they've been cheerleaders of our work for years, so we recognize we may be speaking to the cheerleaders here, and we're appreciative of the opportunity. I want to thank you for that. So you know, my name is Carol Gore, and for 15 years I've been privileged to serve as the president and CEO of Cook Inlet Housing Authority, which serves most of South Central Alaska. Cook Inlet Housing is one of the 14 regional housing authorities that are members of the Association of Alaska Housing Authorities. I do want to acknowledge Colleen Dushkin, who is the administrator for the association, and she helped work with us so that we would be efficient and not duplicative in our statements to the committee today. Before we begin our testimony, it's my privilege to briefly introduce the speakers today. I hope that will speed up the testimony. We represent a recipient and practitioners who understand firsthand the value of the state's investment in energy for homeowners who live across the state. We know managing energy efficiency and housing costs results in safer, healthier, and more affordable housing. And finally, we know that smart, strategic investments in energy-efficient housing have an important economic impact for our state. The state's investment in energy-efficient housing is critical to achieving the sustainable communities that we all desire. So I'm going to introduce the speakers in the order in which they will speak today. First is Craig Moore, who's sitting to my right, your left. He's the Vice President of Planning and Development at Tlingit Haida Regional Housing Authority here in Juneau. He's been involved with energy-efficient construction and building science education in Southeast Alaska since 1991. He brings to his job a background as a general contractor, energy rater, home inspector, and cold climate home building instructor, and has now been at Tlingit Haida for 17 years. Next, he will be followed by David Hardenberg, who is the executive director of the Rural Alaska Community Action Program, or better known as RuralCAP. He has been working with the weatherization program in Alaska for more than 25 years. I will follow David, and we will leave the best for the last. To close our presentation is Etta Kuzakin. She is a community leader and president of the Adago Tribe of King Cove. Ms. Kuzakin is a tribal board representative on the regional nonprofit of Aleutian Pribilof Islands Association and a lifelong resident of King Cove. Thank you. I'll turn it over to Craig.
Just before you, I'd just let you know I was having a little fun trying to determine who was going to raise their hand, and I was only right with the two of you. So. Okay.
Thank you, Carol. I think before I start my testimony, I'd like to recognize two people in the audience that have a great deal of wealth of information on the weatherization program, and that's Pat Shifley, the Executive Director of Alaska Community Development Corporation, and our own Clickett Haida Regional Housing Authority Weatherization Coordinator, Matthew Bell. Good afternoon. My name is Craig Moore. I'm the Vice President of Clickett Haida Regional Housing Authority here in Juneau, and I oversee the weatherization program at the Housing Authority as well as new construction and rehab projects. I want to thank Senator Michiki and Senator Bishop, co-chairs of the Senate Special Committee on Energy, and other members of the committee for the opportunity to speak to you today about the state's weatherization program and the positive impact it has brought to our region. THRHA, the acronym for Clinkett Haida Regional Housing Authority, serves rural communities in our southeast Alaska region from Yakutat in the north down to Haidaberg in the south and many communities in between. Few programs that I have been involved with at the Housing Authority are as important to the well-being of our rural communities as the weatherization program. Since 2008, THRHA has received funding to weatherize 915 homes in our region, yet there are still many that need this service. At an average cost per unit of $11,000 per home, this is a significant infusion into our local economy and has benefited our communities in far-reaching ways. It has reduced the heating costs for our residents. Most of our rural homes were not built to modern codes. They were poorly insulated with high air leakage, resulting in high heat loss. Our energy assessors find many older rural homes are in the 1 to 2 star range, very inefficient. They are typically heated with fuel oil. Some are heated with wood. There is no natural gas heating in Southeast. So we find that there are huge opportunities for energy savings just by air sealing against heat loss, adding insulation to floors and ceilings, servicing and tuning heating systems, and in some cases replacing failed or very inefficient heating systems with new energy efficient systems. We can often raise these homes to 3 or 4 star ratings with our limited budget. Let's see. It has provided healthier homes for our families. Our trained assessors use blower door tests, combustion analyzers, backdraft testing, IR cameras, fan flow measurements, and their trained eyes to test and identify health hazards in the homes. We then take measures to reduce health hazards from carbon monoxide, mold and mildew, poor indoor air quality, and fire hazards. This program is one of the most effective for providing healthier, safer homes. It has provided much-needed jobs in our economically depressed communities. These aren't glamorous jobs, as you can see on some of my photos on the screen. They are hard work, but they provide welcome income for our young men and women. It helps them support their homes and subsistence lifestyles and helps provide food and an affordable shelter for their families and elders.
Do we, I'm sorry, but do we have this presentation on?
There's some map right in my photos. Could you get, yeah,
you got it.
Okay,
oops.
It has, you can continue if, but I'll, if you have a spare, I'll take it. And
I'm sorry, this actual slide is not in the presentation.
Okay.
I added it the last minute. I apologize for that.
No problem at all.
Apologies.
Thank you.
To continue, it has provided economic benefits to local businesses. Materials are purchased from local vendors. Contractors are hired for many weatherization services. Transportation companies benefit. Local stores benefit from the cash infusion from wage earners. And all this helps sustain the local economies. It has raised the level of knowledge in our workforce. Our crews receive training in building science, energy-efficient construction, indoor air quality, and health factors in our built environment. Workers are trained to identify and seal heat loss bypasses in attics, floors, and walls. They are trained to test and repair defective heating systems and to call in heating contractors when failed systems need to be replaced. And they test for adequate ventilation and install high-quality fans for good indoor air quality. These skills and knowledge that we give to our workers are invaluable in the villages, and it's a benefit that carries forward long into the future. This program helps slow the out-migration of village families. These jobs give young men and women in our villages the chance to earn good incomes, gain self-respect while they improve the quality of life for their elders. It makes their homes more affordable to operate. These all affect their decisions to stay in their beloved communities and not move to the larger urban hubs. In summary, I see all of these benefits of the weatherization program on a regular basis at my job. And I am thankful to be part of a program that positively affects so many people. All Alaskans know the tough budget decisions that the legislature is facing this session. We urge you to consider the cost benefits of the weatherization program and the enormous beneficial impacts it has on our lower income Alaskan residents. Thank you for the opportunity to testify on behalf of this excellent program.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. I actually felt very well versed in the program. I went through the program a few years ago at our home and didn't take advantage of the funding of the improvements, but did go through the state program for efficiency, and we made a lot of the changes. I bought some new windows, garage doors, and insulation and ceiling, and the difference was astounding. So I can just imagine in some of the lower income areas for those taking full advantage of it that it's probably saving, 35 to 50% on their energy costs, and perhaps even better than that in some situations. So I've been very appreciative of the program. And I got to say, I wouldn't say that the jobs are not glorious. In fact, just yesterday working on the FY16 budget cuts, I thought it would be really nice to be an insulator right now.
I know, you probably have the toughest job of all. Thank you very much for this. Let me testify.
Thank you. Mr. Hardenberg.
Thank you, Senator. If I may point out, you may be referring to what we sometimes call the residential rebate program, the one that you may have participated in, which is also administered by AHFC, but it's a little bit different than the income-eligible weatherization program for low-income folks.
Okay.
And also, by my calculations, if you got two of us correct in your guesses on names out of five, you're batting 400. So, I think Ted Williams was the last, guy to do that in baseball.
That's
so
right.
You're not doing all that bad.
Okay.
Well, my name is David Hardenberg, and I'm the executive director of the Rural Alaska Community Action Program, also known as RuralCAP. And with me here for moral support is our board president, who volunteers on the board, Jackie Daly, who lives here in Juneau, and also represents the Alaska Native Brotherhood and Alaska Native Sisterhood. And also here is John Delgado from our staff, who supervises and coordinates weatherization activities here in Juneau. I'd like to thank you, Senator Michicki, as the co-chair of the Senate Special Committee on Energy, for this opportunity to speak with you about the measurable results and the impacts of the weatherization program. The state of Alaska's investment in the weatherization program, as administered by the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, has a long history. Indeed, the original concept for what now has become a national program was born right here in Alaska. It came out of the community of Fort Yukon in the 1970s. Weatherization assistance provides income-eligible households with energy efficiency improvements. The program saves money, saves energy, keeps people healthy, extends the life of the home, and creates skilled jobs. 70% of the households served include a senior citizen or a person with a disability, and more than half of the households served include children under the age of 6. One of the factors that makes the return on investment and energy savings so compelling in our state is that low-income Alaskans experience the highest energy burden in the country. Defined as a percentage of total family annual income spent on energy, the energy burden for low-income families in rural Alaska often exceeds 50% just for home heating fuel. Thus, a program that reduces the amount of fuel needed to heat a home by 30% on a statewide average and more than 40% in much of rural Alaska can be life-changing for a low-income family. Average rural families save more than $2,300 a year on home heating fuel. Statewide, the average family saves $1,300 a year after their home has been weatherized. And the amount of savings to a family budget increases to more than $4,000 a year in those parts of the state where both fuel prices and energy burdens are highest.
Just a question before you go on, Mr. Hardenberg. I didn't ask Mr. Moore this. I wasn't texting. I was calculating, which you'll find me doing often. But so your program so far has spent about $10 million on, you said, 11,000 average and 915 homes. Is that correct? Do you have similar factors?
We have a larger program in my organization, RuralCap. We serve Anchorage, which we took over from the municipality of Anchorage about 5 years ago. And then along with some of the regional housing authorities, we serve all of Western Alaska. So from the YK region all the way up through the Nome and Kotzebue regions, as well as Juneau, along with the housing authority here.
The product you might consider in the future is approximate savings per capita as well across the state. It'd be nice to understand what that looks like and just demonstrating the value of the program.
Right. I'll in a minute just get to an aggregate number from HFC. But the weatherization program also includes health and safety benefits ranging from smoke and carbon monoxide detectors to improved indoor air quality and the mitigation of mold and mildew problems. It improves Alaska's housing stock by adding more than 20 years to the lifespan of the average home weatherized. HFC has calculated that the aggregate return on investment from the weatherization program is $46 million in annual energy cost savings. So we could take that number and divide it either by the number of houses weatherized or per capita for the whole state population. But that's the aggregate energy cost savings across the whole state. This year's $46 million from previous year's investments. The economic impact on local communities resulting from the weatherization program includes wages paid to locally hired crews and payments made to local vendors. RuralCap works with dozens of local businesses in Anchorage and Juneau who provide materials and deliver services for the weatherization program. Economists at UAA's Institute of Social and Economic Research found that energy efficiency programs were the most conservative and cost-effective options for state energy policy, saving both energy and money, creating jobs, and yielding a timely and low-risk return on state dollars. But perhaps the best view of this program is from the perspective of one of the more than 16,000 owners of homes weatherized since 2009. The following excerpts come from a letter shared by an elder in Chivac, where locally hired crews completed work on 107 homes last year. These are in the words of a Chivac elder. "I want to express my gratitude as a community elder, as well as for the people of the community of Chivac. Houses were provided with new windows, doors, insulation, and ventilation to make our home environment safe for many years to come. With new painted homes, the old weathered homes look new once again, which will improve the morale of the people. I know in my heart that many of the people are grateful for what you have done and what you are doing to help our community. As an elder, I am more at peace in my home, knowing my family will be warm and will save heating fuel. Our utilities have skyrocketed because of fuel costs. We'll be able to withstand the cold winters and be comfortable in our home environments with our families. Koyana, for your hard work, God bless you. John F. Pingayak," who I suspect possibly Senator Hoffman knows. I'm referring to a letter from John Pingayak in Chivac, in your district, Senator. Welcome.
Welcome, Senator Hoffman.
Sorry for being late, Mr. Chairman.
It's okay.
The weatherization program has been operating in Alaska for decades at the intersection of energy efficiency and Arctic building science. It's a science-based, data-driven program that consistently produces measurable results and an excellent return on investment. For years, weatherization has functioned like an operating fund program, even though it is funded from the capital budget. As program providers, we recognize the need for fiscal austerity. we are willing to share in the painful process of further cutting the budget. But what we respectfully ask is that rather than cutting this program to $6.6 million, as in the governor's budget, that you consider a cut of 27% from last year's level of $27.5 million down to $20 million. Our belief is that this would keep the program sustainable. I'd like to close with a quote from an elder in the village of Savunga on St. Lawrence Island. When asked what she thought about the work done in her home, she paused and then replied, "Good. Now I don't have to wear my slippers to bed anymore." And I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Hardenberg. I'd like to welcome Co-Chair Bishop here as well.
Thank you.
Ms. Gore.
Yes, thank you, Co-Chair Bishop. And Senator Hoffman, I'm glad you've joined us. You've been a great champion of ours. I appreciate it very much. So I'd like to introduce myself more properly. I am Carol Gore. I'm a forever Alaskan Aleut descent. My mother was born and raised in the village of Nanalchik, one of 12 siblings who grew up in a one-bedroom home. My great-grandfather led mining and trapping expeditions at Cooper Landing, and yes, his name was Joseph Cooper. So my roots in Alaska are very deep, but my hometown is Anchorage, and I've had the privilege of working with Kokemut Housing for 15 years and making a difference in the very neighborhood where I was born in Mountain View, where there is a large concentration of very low income, and particularly a large concentration of Alaska Native people who make Anchorage their home. During my time at Kokemut Housing, I've learned much about the responsibility at both the housing and household and statewide levels, connecting energy consumption, housing affordability, and fiscal responsibility. We all know that Alaskan homes use more energy than homes in the lower 48. Yet it is startling to learn how much more energy we use. On average, housing in Alaska uses nearly three times more energy per square foot than the national average. Our energy consumption is high because of a combination of extreme climate and poor quality housing stock. Most of Alaska's housing stock is not energy efficient, having been hurriedly built during the pipeline boom in the 1970s and 1980s. I think that's especially true in the hub communities in Anchorage and Fairbanks. Statewide, nearly 20,000 homes have an energy rating of one star, the lowest energy rating any home can have. Even in South Central, in which there is has the most affordable energy in the state, residential energy costs are 50% greater than in cold climate regions in the lower 48. Across Alaska, high energy costs combined with high energy consumption have put a financial squeeze on both families and the state itself. Families in interior Alaska, for example, pay on average more than $8,000 per year in energy costs. The state also bears a fiscal burden due to the energy costs and consumption in part through programs like the Power Cost Equalization and the Housing Assistance Program. I'm going to speak about a different, very small program other than weatherization that has had a long-standing investment from the state from the late 70s, early 80s. I'm going to call your attention to the program called the Supplemental Housing Development Grant Program. It's delivered through Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. This program is designed to encourage the delivery of safe, energy-efficient housing throughout Alaska. Funds can be used for energy-efficient design, features, and basic infrastructure. By statute, the Supplemental Housing Development Program may match no more than 20% of development costs for any project. Historically, recipients have matched every dollar of state supplemental funding with five additional dollars. In our case, it's really a 9-to-1 match. The State Supplemental Housing Development Program plays a critical role in ensuring that housing built and rehabilitated in rural Alaska is energy efficient. Alaska does not have a statewide building energy code. However, the Supplemental Housing Development Program mandates compliance with Alaska's Building Energy Efficiency Standard Program, or BEES, which is maybe more familiar to you. In rural communities, this both triggers energy efficiency requirements and helps to fund some of the costs of energy-efficient design and construction. In turn, this reduces dependency on powers like power programs like Power Cost Equalization and the Heating Assistance Program. There are clear examples of the impact of the Supplemental Housing Development Program. TNHA, I won't even begin to try to pronounce the name of this housing authority, but TNHA, the Regional Housing Authority based in Barrow, serves Alaska's northernmost communities. Recognizing the harshness of their climate, TNHA launched their Sustainable Northern Shelter Project to address the need for sustainable rural housing that uses very little energy. Their housing model combines the time-tested method of earth banking with numerous innovative design and construction techniques. They worked with Cold Climate Research out of Fairbanks, which is also part of AHFC's structure. The resulting homes are designed to last 100 years or more and use just 18% of the heating fuel consumed by typical homes in the same climate. Best of all, the state's investment was just 15% of total costs, the remainder being funded by federal grant programs and federally guaranteed commercial loans. They've put 16 of these homes in their communities thus far. The impacts of the Supplemental Housing Development Program in rural Alaska extend beyond housing. Because the program is often used to close funding gaps and advance developments that are otherwise infeasible, it has significant labor force impacts throughout Alaska. The regional housing authorities employ more than 1,000 Alaskans, and their activities support the employment of over 2,200 Alaskans in total. The impact of the Supplemental Housing Development Program is not limited to rural Alaska. It is truly statewide in its impact. In Anchorage, Cook Inlet Housing Authority will soon break ground on Grass Creek North, a multi-phase development in East Anchorage that will consist of 100 apartment homes for families and seniors. Because of the relatively small investment of supplemental housing development funds at just one-tenth of the total cost, all homes in Grass Creek North will be built to a new six-star energy efficient standards. In urban and rural communities alike, the Supplemental Housing Grant Program helps regional housing authorities secure federal and non-state resources to develop and rehabilitate housing to energy-efficient standards. For example, in Anchorage's Mountain View neighborhood, Cook Inlet Housing Authority has facilitated approximately $88 million in energy-efficient housing redevelopment. The state's portion of that investment, is excluding the debt that came from HFC, has been just 8%. This redevelopment work, made possible by a relatively modest state investment of state funds, has stimulated economic development. Mountain View has attracted dentists, a telecommunications store, restaurants, a health clinic, a credit union, and much more. The Supplemental Housing Development Grant is a small program that brings big things for Alaska. It helps secure non-state funding, closes development gaps, stimulates economic development, and most critically, it results in the production of energy-efficient homes throughout the state. I extend my appreciation to the co-chairs and to the members of this committee. It's been a privilege to speak to you today. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Gorlan. Welcome Senator Egan here as well.
Yeah, and I apologize, Mr. Chair, for being late. I was in another meeting.
We're all very busy. Is just a little side note, is Gore Point named after your family?
No, I married that name. I probably don't want to speak about that one. Okay. But thanks for asking.
Okay. We're ready when, oh, yes, I'm sorry, Senator Bishop.
Great presentation. Grass Creek, six-star energy standards.
Yes.
Do you have an estimate on the fuel savings? Is that, would that be corresponding with the fuel savings for the homes like in Barrow? So you said that was 18%.
Right, probably not as much, but we're doing a couple of things, two types of solar So one photovoltaic and one solo thermal. This is a new combination. We're also doing one just across the street with geothermal. So we have the duty to measure what the outcome is, and we certainly have Grass Creek South, if you will, to measure against, which is only a 5-star, not a 6-star. So we'll have a good comparison and promise to give you those details.
And Senator Bishop, I think what we learned earlier is that the total savings of the program to date has been $46 million. Across Alaska, and that's with 16,000 weatherized homes. Are those numbers correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Good afternoon, Senator Michiki, Senator Bishop, and distinguished members of the committee. I want to begin by thanking you for the opportunity to speak today about the weatherization program. My name is Etta Kazakin. I'm president of the Agdal Tribe of King Cove. I'm also a tribe board representative for the regional nonprofit Aleutian Pribilof Islands Association. Perhaps the most important for today's presentation is I'm a recipient of the weatherization program and proud to have this opportunity to share briefly how important this program has been not only to myself but my family, but to so many other families and communities across Alaska. Let me start by telling you a little bit about my great community of King Cove. I've lived in King Cove all my life. I'm currently employed as a site tech at the Aleutians Eastboro School District. I married my high school sweetheart, a long life King Cove resident also. We raise our three beautiful children there. King Cove is located on the south side of the Alaska Peninsula, 625 miles southwest of Anchorage. Like many other Alaskan communities, King Cove has an active federal recognized tribal government, an active progressive municipal government, and a successful ANCSA village corporation. King Cove is also home to a federal recognized tribe of Belkoski. Our economy depends on primarily the year-round commercial fishing and seafood processing industries. Although the mainstay of the local economy, as you all are probably aware, the fishing industry has a history of severe economic up and downs. And many in my community, like most rural communities, struggle year to year to make ends meet. Let me shift gears and take a few minutes to give you my perspective on the weatherization program. It's absolutely amazing. I don't know how else to sum it up. I believe this perspective would be repeated by recipients and community leaders across the state if they were given this same opportunity to be with us today. I don't think you can underestimate how important the program has been to so many who have actually been able to benefit from it. 61 homes have been weatherized in King Cove since the program began. Many of the homes received new heating systems, doors, windows, improved ventilation, and of course air sealing. The results have been incredible. Little did most of us realize how such a relative small investment could have such a large impact on the terms of energy efficiency, cash savings, comfort, and improved health and safety. For the small communities with limited economic and financial struggling residents, this has been an ultimate gift that keeps giving. In essence, this program has, for rural communities, been a major project when it comes to energy. While I can appreciate the pressing need to address the significant energy needs of those on the road system and in the large population centers, for rural off-road communities, this has been quite equivalent for our gas line project or to our Susitna Dam project. Once a home is served, the positive results are immediate and long-lasting. Although the precise numbers are still being calculated, it appears that the average saving in diesel fuel not consumed and dollars saved within families and community at large has averaged around 35%. The $80,000 to $100,000 that was previously being spent annually solely on diesel fuel is now available to our families to spend on other critical needs. The saving continues year after year. When multiplied by more than the 16,000 homes and programs that are serviced across the state, the overall statewide result is staggering. Another great program success in my region is ATCA. ATCA is a small, very remote community near the end of the Aleutian chain. ATCA very carefully documented its 12-month pre-weatherization community fuel use and expenditures and 12 months post-weatherization use and expenditures for service homes. The result was an average of 43% savings in gallons consumed and dollars spent, approximately $4,100 per household on average. I have provided you with a copy of the data sheet to support this. Because of high cost of living, ATCA is struggling to keep families with children in the community. This program could be the difference between a community keeping its school open or being forced to close it because of lack of students. When the local employment opportunities, job training, reduction in loss of residents, particularly families with children struggling with the high cost of living and other secondary benefits are added to this direct community economic impact. It is hard to overestimate the importance of the program or imagine a program that has had a more direct, significant impact on so many households in the community across the state. Up on the screen is a picture of Agnes Gould. Agnes is a handicapped elder in my community whose home was weatherized this year. She and her family are so grateful for the program. She has expressed to me not only how grateful they are for the reduction in utility bills, but how much more comfortable she is, how she feels healthier, and basically how her quality of life has been improved by the program. She stated that before the work was done on my home, I was going through 200 gallons of fuel a month. After they installed the new heating system, windows, and insulation, I now use half of that. These sentiments are not only shared by the other 60 King Cove residents who have received the weatherization, but I am sure by the thousands of other recipients across Alaska. As Janet Wilson, a weatherization client from Sandpoint, stated, this program in these bad economic times is a godsend. In closing, I fully recognize and appreciate the severe financial crisis the state is in, but in my humble opinion, as a recipient of the program and a community leader, this is one of the programs that needs to be prioritized and viewed as the critical and necessary investment by the state, even in the tough economic times. Continuing a strong, sustainable weatherization program, as documented on the ISA report, is sound economic and public policy. Thank you for your time and this opportunity to discuss what I believe to be an amazingly successful program for our state. Thanks for the courage and wisdom to implement such a program in the first place. I only hope that you and your colleagues can find the way to continue the program at a level that allows the thousands of Alaskans still waiting patiently to be served the opportunity to receive the same benefits that I, Agnes, and so many other fortunate people were able to receive. Again, thank you.
Thank you. Questions? I just have a question for you. Thank you. Kuzakin?
Yes.
Kuzakin, appreciate it. Ms. Gore, you, so originally the programs were funded at $26 million? Is that correct?
Correct.
And the governor's budget had 6.6?
That's correct.
I don't know where we are right now. We'll have to look at those when we get back. Yeah, it's tough. I mean, the benefits are obvious. I think every community has seen those benefits. And, of course, you know, the guys that were here when they introduced the programs, like Senator Hoffman, Senator Egan, will take credit for that. But I doubt they'll take credit for any of the cuts that come this year. So,
I took advantage of it, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions? Is there anything else that you think you didn't cover during this?
No, I just want to thank you for your time. I know it's a very busy day. I know these are tough times and tough decisions that you all have to make. I wish you great wisdom. We bring, of course, our experience, and I hope it's been helpful in your decision making. It's going to be hard. So we wish you well in that decision making, and thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you. Yeah, and we have a long way to go, not just with energy efficiency, but energy availability. I think we're well behind the eight ball on this statewide, particularly in the rural areas. So I think once we're able to adjust to whatever our future sustainability looks like, I think that's work that obviously needs to continue. Where folks are going to retract to the rural, I mean the urban areas, and we'll continue to struggle in rural communities.
We're seeing that migration already. It is tough.
Senator Bishop?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I concur with your comments, but I was late. I was in a meeting with the Department of Energy, DOE for Alaska.
Very good.
And a very, very good meeting, refreshing, to say the least. And we talked about, it was all centered around rural energy and delivery in rural Alaska. Using all assets in the toolbox, even coal. I was shocked. But with that being said, I did read one study, and it's been several years ago, but you know, if Alaska if we could be energy efficient, I think the number was, in, and it was in the billions of dollars, the energy savings that the state could save, you know, and that's, as you, you know, you've got real-time savings that you've presented to this community. That can be replicated. We just got to figure a way to get broaden our economy in Alaska to continue to do that. So, thank you.
Other comments, questions? Seeing none, I appreciate you all being here, and I will be checking on what we've done with this program, see if there's any changes. Were there House changes post the governor's budget?
Not that we're aware of.
No reductions?
Okay. And I do just want to state for the record, there were two programs we spoke about. One is weatherization, very robustly, and another program that's been around for, golly, 30 years, since the late 70s, which is the Supplemental Housing Grant Program. It is not currently in the budget, in the governor's capital budget, but there is some movement from the governor's side and also Alaska Housing side and some communication about that particular program to use other funding to maybe keep it stabilized for this year. So just for the committee's consideration, there is some good conversation about that, a huge reduction, but it will still help. Every dollar helps. So thank you for that.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Gore. If there is no additional business, we will adjourn at 1:45.